Hello, Burlington, and welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Bill Parizo, Director of Power System here at BED and a 42-year veteran with the department. We're going to talk to Bill about his time here at BED, including the change in power generation over the course of his career. It's such a pleasure to have you on the Net Zero Energy podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Bill, we were talking just before we started recording that you and I originally had a conversation a couple months back. We were at a BED employee lunch, and I had the luck of sitting next to you and learning a little bit about your trajectory over the course of your experience at BED. And it's great for listeners to know you're probably the seniorist here at BED with 42 years under your belt. And it's a long history of the way BED has evolved and changed over time, including the Moran plant.
Yeah, thanks. 42 years, long time. I started off at the Moran plant as an apprentice electrician and worked my way up to a first-class electrician there. Went on to substation maintenance, high-voltage substation maintenance. And after 20 years of doing that, I went into the control room and have been a power systems coordinator and now the director of that area for the last 22 years.
So talk about being in Moran when it was a coal fire plant.
Moran was real exciting for me. When I first went there, it was a coal fire unit. The coal dust was in everything. As an electrician, it was in electrical panels, outlets, relay panels. It literally got everywhere. A lot of guys would looked like we were wearing mascara because the coal dust gets on the wetness of your eyes and you can't really wash it off. And they were in the process of experimenting with other sources of energy. We were in the late 70s, early 80s, still in a crisis when it came to fossil fuels and our desire to get away from those types of sources and the politics that went along with it. And I also knew a little bit about acid rain and how it was affecting Vermont and how our congressional people were trying to fight phosphor in the air and the sulfurs that they released by burning coal. And yet there was one right on our lakefront in Burlington. It was a long process to get there. And like I said, we thought we hit gold. The leadership of Burlington Electric at the time was then immediately in plans for a conception of a wood-fired power plant. And McNeil is the result of that. So it's been exciting in my 42 years to see how far we've actually come. And I think the removal of Moran was the stepping stone to get where we are.
So there was a short period where you tested out various opportunities, including wood. And then what was the timeline between sort of that pilot and the construction of McNeil and really shutting down Moran as we know it?
They were really heavy into it when I was there and when I hired in 79, that they were really into the experiment of wood and shortly settled on the wood chips, like I spoke before. There's very little generation on our grid in the northwestern part of the state of Vermont. Other entities, Valco and those have always been asking for investments in generation in this area. And the fact that our resource is local and it's renewable and we've actually generated more wood than we've cut down. It's great.
Yeah, really important. And I think a lot of us don't understand the degree to which not only BED and Burlington, but the region relies on McNeil.
Absolutely. There's so little generation in Northwest Vermont. And McNeil's 50 megawatts, it's enough to run the city of Burlington. I take pride in that customers are very seldom without power and very seldom a long duration.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us then, you really came in at a really interesting time down at Moran, and then you saw this transition to wood at Moran and then ultimately the construction of McNeil. So what was your professional trajectory? Did you go to McNeil and now you're here doing dispatch?
I spent a little bit of time with McNeil. And then decided to go into the tech shop, which was high voltage. And I had a little interest in doing that. So that was really interesting, making that transition.
So tell us now what it means to be the director of power systems.
Jesus, come.
Just a small job.
It's yeah, it's very interesting. We're very busy. We're actually in the process of swapping to a new SCADA system.
What does that mean, SCADA?
SCADA is systems control and data acquisition. And that's how we operate our grid. We have a new control center also. That's in the center of the building. When I worked at Moran, we had open relays, and that would click, 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 click. It would make a noise. You could actually see them move to solid state, which was so cool. And then to programmable controllers, and now computers. And everybody knows how far computers has taken us. We can cap so much efficiencies from the technology. We teach it how we want it to run, and it teaches us how to do it better. That's what our new system will do.
For listeners that don't kind of have an image, I see you as sort of Captain Kirk in front of the big screen, and you're watching and paying attention to how energy is flowing throughout the city. Is that a decent synopsis of what you do?
I wish it was that grand. we make sure that power is delivered reliably and safely is what we do. That's easily said and harder to do. We are constantly monitoring and adjusting the system to meet our load and do it in an efficient manner.
The one thing that comes up sometimes, Bill, for me is I get customers asking about buying batteries and battery storage for their homes. And I can say, you know, if you're looking at a return on investment, that's probably not where you want to spend your money because we have so few outages.
We call it, they're called KD and safety numbers, and don't ask me what they stand for, but it is how many outages you have and the duration of your outages. And so rural areas, obviously, if the line goes down, it's much longer for that customer to be out. Where Burlington, we have a very elaborate grid. We are able to backfeed and switch around problems and still keep our customers on. There might be short outages to have the control room disseminate the information on where the fault is located. But then once we have that, we quickly switch around it, isolate the area to make it safe for people and equipment, and then get our customers back rolling. And that's what they pay for. They want a reliable source of electricity. The experiences that you gain from the outages that we have gone through in the 22 years of being in that control room, you don't forget any one of them. And if it reoccurs or is similar, you're even more efficient at getting it switched around and safe. And documenting those types of things and making sure that new operators know how to those experiences and what we've gone through, and we share those things, and we share them with regional partners, with local power companies, because, you know, we're all interconnected, we're all in it together, and then responsible together to try to come up with solutions other than fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And I am so happy that we've gotten as far as we are.
I really appreciate sort of the trajectory of your work and where you've been and where, you know, you see us potentially going, and your commitment to our diverse array, including McNeil. Is there anything that you haven't mentioned that listeners would want to know before we wrap it up?
When I first started working at Moran, I can remember distinctly the burnt trees on top of Mount Mansfield because of acid rain. I'm a little emotional for this one. Mm-hmm. And it's gone. It's simply gone. We got through it. We got smarter, and we got through it, and we created a way to get there. And I think we just got to keep on going with all the excitement going on with solar and batteries and storage. And I think this is where we're going to win. We're going to win this sector, or this electricity sector, and we're going to make it better. I've seen it, the growth in the 42 years. I would love to be around 42 years from now to see what it looks like.
Yeah, Bill, I just, on behalf of BED and as a Burlington customer, I so appreciate your service to our utility. Thank you so much for everything you've done over the last 42 years, and your institutional knowledge is tremendous.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you asking me up here. It's always fun to talk about where we started when I was here, and I can imagine even farther back with some of the people I've worked with and what they've seen to today. I'm sure they would be as proud as I am.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Bill. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks.
Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy. If you have any questions about this podcast or what BED offers regarding incentives, rebates, or technological support, look for us at burlingtonelectric.com or call us at 802-865-7300. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're always here to help and look forward to engaging with you on our mutual path to net zero energy.